Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go!
1-7-7-2-8-2-BEEP.
It's the scary edition of Mailbag Friday on Wretched Radio. How's my acting, Jimmy?
Pretty good.
Good Friday the 13th. Yeah. I'm just shaking in my boots over here because you know what happens on Friday the 13th.
Oh, what?
Whatever God ordains.
That's right.
Pretty much it. Right there. If God ordains it, then it was meant to happen because he determined in eternity past it was going to happen. And the voodoo day of Friday the 13th, it has no power. Walking under a ladder might not be smart, especially if there's a can of paint on the little ledge right there. But there's no bad luck. There's no force out there that controls the number 13. Or if you step on a crack, your mother's back is going to be just fine. Unless, of course, God ordains that it should be broken at the exact same second you step on a crack. Highly unlikely. It's Mailbag Friday the 13th. Please send your wretched things to idea@wretched.org. If you would like to text, feel free to do so. Jimmy, what are we going to be saying in 5 years? If the Lord lets us do this for 5 more years.
Well, I hope he does.
It's going to be pretty soon, I'm telling you, email.
It's going to be like email.
What are you, like a telegraph? What are you talking about? We don't do that anymore. I wonder if there's going to be something.
Telepath.
Telecommunication from your, yeah, telepathy.
Just tell my brain.
Just, will I have to have a Rolodex of numbers or will it just be in the chip? Yeah. And I can say, call Jimmy. And boom, there you are. And you wouldn't pick it up no matter how I dialed it. The point is, it seems that someday texting will even be passe. 87 in the meantime, 877-282-2337.
This is from Lauren. Todd, I was listening to the Witness Wednesday Q&A at Oklahoma State recently, where you answered a question about the relationship between intellect and feelings for Christians. In essence, you said that learning about God should fuel our love for him. How can I practically ensure that knowledge about God goes to my heart and doesn't just stop at my head?
Oh, sing my song. This is the issue of the day. It's also the issue du jour because this has been a propensity of Christians since the jump. How do we take knowledge, which is the foundation of our feelings? You can't have correct feelings without truth. You need knowledge about God in order to feel correctly. Too many churches, they just go for the manipulated feelings without any truth. However, there are churches that just go for the truth and they do not ever address the feelings that should be produced from that truth. Okay. Jimmy, did I mention we're in 1 Peter?
1 Peter? 1.
Yeah.
Oh,
at
wow.
Alpharetta Bible Church. Consider it 6-9, I believe. In this, you greatly rejoice. Okay, here's what a seeker-sensitive church will do that isn't very fond of truth or teaching. We're going to get you to greatly rejoice. So dim the lights, boys. Turn on them fog machines and let's kick in the band with the moon music. And we'll get you to feel, we'll get you to greatly rejoice. We'll get you jumping around because you're going to greatly rejoice. No truth. That's not how Peter addresses the motivation for our great rejoicing. In this you greatly rejoice. In this what? The preceding verses. What are the preceding verses? It talks about that you are an elect sojourner, that you have been saved. I don't know that this has ever been used as an adverb. Trinitarianly. That you are saved by the Father, who determined in eternity past your mind through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's yours. That's yours. Therefore, you have a living hope and you have an inheritance that's imperishable, It's never going to tarnish. It will never spoil. And it is glorious, and it's waiting for you, and God's going to keep you safe until you get there to receive your full inheritance. In this you greatly rejoice. Right there. Truth. All of those things. And for Peter, it was always salvation. It was always about what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Think about that. In that you greatly rejoice. So you've got to make sure that if you're looking for feelings, that they are correctly motivated by facts and by truth. And then Peter continues, and he then says, although you have not seen him, you love him. So when we're in this greatly rejoicing, even though you're going through trials and tribulations, when you endure struggles, when you endure tribulations, it is going to produce the fruit of loving him more, trusting him more, longing to see him more. All of that is based on the truth of what God has done through Jesus Christ. Feelings must be informed by facts. But here's the challenge, and I have yet to address the concern of the individual who wrote in. How do you connect it? How do you do that? How do you make sure that that's happening? Well, I think a key word that maybe captures a lot of it, it's not a perfect word because it has baggage these days. You tend to think of Buddhism or Eastern mysticism, but it's a thoroughly biblical term if defined rightly, and that is you meditate. You think on these things. You dwell on these things. You run them through your noggin. You turn them around and you ask them questions. And when you listen to preaching, you ask the questions that hopefully the preacher is answering anyway. What does this look like in my life? How does this affect me? How do I take this knowledge about God and apply it in different circumstances? And then when you start walking through life, you've amassed this knowledge. You've informed how you're supposed to be responding and you implement it. I think that there's another way to connect not just feelings and facts, but your entire life to your faith. I think this would fall underneath that large umbrella. Well, first of all, John Krotz, his podcast, Integrated, that's what it's about, connecting your faith to the rest of your life, Integrated. Because we know that this is a massive issue. The book that I just wrote that will be out, I think this fall, it'll be third or fourth quarter, something like that. That's going to be up to HarperCollins. But it'll be out this year. It addresses that very thing. It is to help people connect faith to the rest of their lives. How do you do that? Well, I think maybe this would be a good place to start. Who's responsible for that? Is God or are you? The answer is, I think, clearly, exclusively, you are. God gives you everything you need for life and godliness. God gives you everything you need to have your emotions moderated rightly. God gives you everything you need to understand that every aspect of your life is actually about Jesus Christ. Every single thing. Here, I'm picking up a can. Can you hear it? And I just put it down. That was about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. And we are the ones who are responsible for realizing that. Why are you shaking your finger at me?
Because you're saying exactly what I'm thinking in here.
Oh, that's scary. For both of us, when you put it that way.
Yeah, well, no, but what you're saying is exactly right. I think, and I think a lot of Christians, we get this wrong a lot of times, but I think to connect from your head to your heart, what we don't do is we don't take every doctrine that we're learning and connect it to Jesus.
Right.
Everything that we're learning, yeah, it's doctrine, but it's also about a person.
And it should consume us.
Yes.
But the reality is you're already consumed by it. You are. You're just not, if you will, in sync. And I don't mean the boys band from the 90s, whenever they had their hits. You're already immersed in his world. You're locked in to God's system. You can't escape it. You're in. The only question is, will you participate in it rightly? Will you be aware of it or not? And will you live in light of the fact that this is his show and that he has given you the privilege of being a part of his cosmic drama to bring glory, to bring praise and adoration to his son, Jesus Christ? And system, It's up to you to be aware of it. So I think the word meditation is important, not just emptying your brain. That's not meditation. That's mysticism. That's Hinduism and Buddhism. That's mindfulness, which isn't. It's emptying your brain. That's not biblical. You fill it with truth, but you think on it. You dwell on it. So practical things. The sermon, don't just listen to it and walk out the door. And at best, critique it on your way home. Talk about it. Think about it. Write down notes. What does it look like this week? Remind yourself throughout the week. Take a look at those notes. Ask yourself the question, how can I apply this at work today? How can I apply this in the parenting of my children? It's up to you to do those things. And I think the other word that would be related to it is discipline. It doesn't have to be a terrible word. Oh, discipline. It's the most joyful thing we get to do. Think about God. I mean, really. Disciplines. They're so heavy. No, they're not. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And it's a total joy and a delight. And so to try to connect those things, and there's so much more, I know, because I wrote like 22 chapters on the subject. There's more to the subject, but let's start here. Meditation, discipline. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. All four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. FortisPlus.org. You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means? Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that. Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine, but somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten, and we believe that to be a big problem. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the bridegroom. Christians are waiting for Christ's return, which the book of Revelation describes as the wedding of the Lamb. Christ will come to usher his bride, his church, into eternity with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This might be a tell. This is Wretched Radio. Just thinking about the book that I wrote about connecting your faith to reality to address the dualism propensity inside of all of us to have this here and that over there. No, 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 no. Not according to Christianity. Your life is Christian. You don't have a secular job. You, my friend, are a royal priest who goes to work every day, performing your functions as a royal priest and doing the stuff that your boss tells you to do. Everything about your life is about Jesus Christ. How do you become aware of that? How do you walk in that? How do you live in that? Well, a lot of people have given prescriptions, and I think a lot of them have been a mess for the most part, where they come up with all kinds of systems that are onerous. And they rarely talk about the liberty that we have in Christ and the joy that we have in Christ. And that being a good Christian, having said all that I've said about how we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to meditate, to be disciplined Christians, we also simultaneously need to remember, if you're not thinking about Jesus for a minute today, that doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. It just means you're doing your thing. Now, if that minute becomes an hour, which becomes 12 hours, which becomes the entire day you never think about Jesus, we got problems. But as we go about life, it is okay, I'm currently talking about Jesus, but am I, if you will, thinking about him? Well, to a degree, in that I'm trying to represent his desires for his children, but I'm not personally meditating on Jesus. Am I being a bad Christian? You would go, no, you're just doing what you're called to do at the moment. We need to remember that, because otherwise we will quickly invent a system that has been, whether it's the monastery system, whether it's the Amish system, whether it's the radical life system, whether it's the Watchman Nee system, all become very onerous. And his burden is easy. It's very, very light. And he doesn't want us to be weighed down with this, I've got to be thinking about my Bible every second of every day, or I'm outside of the... Am I thinking about the Bible right now while I'm told thinking about the Bible? Oh, no, I mean, not being a good... Got to find our balance in this. And we can, if we do it as biblically as we possibly can. So the book is called Go Serve Your King. That became really, really clear. It really began as a treatment. It was sort of like Greg Gifford's book. Greg Gifford's book was really started out as a treatment of mind versus brain. And then it turned into lies my therapist told me, which, you know, kind of a long distance. Now, he's got plenty in there about mind versus brain. That's still the premise of the book. There's a distinction, Christian, between your mind and your brain, the inner man and the outer man. Well, I started out with my book dealing with dualism, Greek philosophical dualism. It became obvious it's about going and serving your king. So we went with that title, but then the debate begins. You would be shocked at how much time goes into talking about titles, subtitles, and book design. Oh, it's like as much goes into that, frankly, as the writing of the book. Just and everybody's got an opinion. We all think this, and we've got our preferences, and should it be blue? Should it be yellow? Should it be gold? So here's, it's Go Serve Your King. And Jimmy, this might be a tell. It's not a great subtitle. I'm struggling to remember it. Let's see if I've got this right. I got it. Okay, I got it. Here it is. Go Serve Your King. Extraordinary Purpose. No, it's the key.
Yeah.
Oh. I think the tell has been told. The key to extraordinary living in everyday life. There it is. I think that's it. The key to extraordinary living in everyday life. What's the key? Serving your king. Joyfully serving the most benevolent king. We can't even fathom a king this kind. We get to serve him. That, by the way, will bring some significance to your life. Go serve your king. And that then illuminates every corner of your everyday life. And it gives it meaning and it gives it purpose, no matter how mundane, no matter how boring, no matter how the world looks at it and would scoff. Oh, You stay home and raise the children? How quaint. Ah! You don't know what you're talking about, world. This has significance because I'm doing it for my king. So everything that I touch, doing it in service to my king has meaning. It has significance. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what we get to walk out. We'll let you know more about the book, Go Serve Your King, The Key to Extraordinary Purpose in Everyday Life.
That's right. I looked it up, so you did get it right.
Did I get it right? Does it have the key to extraordinary purpose?
Yes, it does.
Okay, then. All righty. Get your copies somewhere someday. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Josh. Todd, can true forgiveness only occur when the other person asks?
A transactional forgiveness cannot. If there isn't a transaction of forgiveness, no. And there is a debate, even in biblical counseling circles, good folks disagree on this subject. For instance, you should know a really good stout guy like Dr. John Street, really great brother. He would say that genuine forgiveness can take place if there isn't repentance. The other side would say, no, because Jesus said you forgive. He didn't identify that the person needed to repent. Now, somebody like John Street would say, well, wait a second. You didn't get forgiveness without repentance. And I affirm that, but I would also say this. Didn't get forgiveness without faith either. And two people who have been going at each other or somebody who has sinned against the other, we don't expect the individual to believe in us before we'd forgive them. The point is, there's good people on both sides of the equation. There must be repentance or there can't be genuine forgiveness. There's still a blot. There's a mark there. The other side would say, no, you forgive because we've been forgiven much. And it's a sign that you're saved, that you're willing to so freely forgive. I'm going to be a peacemaker again. I'm going to bridge that gap so that maybe we don't get caught up in the weeds. And I think the more important issue is our heart anyway. Whether you believe, you fall on the side of John Street or you fall on the side of others that says you forgive even if there is not a transaction, your heart should be like, oh, I am so there. The trajectory of my heart isn't toward, I'm going to wait, not going to forgive until I hear it and they better mean it. No. That's I don't think that should be the Christian heart. The Christian heart should be, oh, if they come to me, I can't wait to say I forgive you because I've already let it go. I don't hold a grudge. I don't harbor this. I'm not going to club them with this. I'm so, even if you want to say willing to forgive, it's a heart that is aimed toward forgiveness. There. So now we don't have to pick sides and we can all get along. Jimmy, you're giving me a face in there.
Well,
which side do you fall on? The John Street side or the other side?
Both. Both.
Well, then why aren't you telling me that I'm being a really good peacemaker?
Well, you are. You are. I know. I agree with you because as you're talking, I'm thinking, why do we have to fall on one side or the other? Isn't that there should be a distinction here. The attitudinal part of it, that's your heart, what you're talking about, that should be unconditional. But the transactional part, that's about your relationship with the other person, and I don't think
I'll play John Street for a moment. Well, okay, I'll play somebody who's on that side. They would say the relationship can't be whole if the issue hasn't been dealt with. And you know what? I think that there's some validity in that. There's some truth in that. I mean, if I punched you in the nose and it's like, well, I'm a forgiver. I'm a forgiving person. Nevertheless, every time I walk by you, you'd be looking at me to go, is he going to hit me in the nose again? You're probably not going to trust me in other things either. So I actually affirm that. I think that it does mar a relationship until that interaction and that transaction takes place.
I agree.
Do I personally think it's needed in order to forgive? I think that I'd fall more on the side of we forgive because we've been forgiven much. Do I think that it is very helpful in a relationship to bring the relationship back or even enhance it? To have a transaction of forgiveness, I absolutely do. So I, in a sense, affirm both of those things. Now, if John Street were here, he might punch me in the nose. And then, of course, I'd wait for him to repent before I'd forgive him. The point is, it's the heart. We've been forgiven so much. Oh, we forget, don't we? oh, we just tend to think of the big whopper sins. God forgave me of that besetting sin. Oh, no. He's forgiven us of so many sins. The standard is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can any of us really say that we've accomplished that for a single second? And yet he forgives and forgives past, present, future, all of it. Pride, our sinful anxiety, because there are two types of anxiety, non-sinful and our sinful anxiety, our worrying about things that we shouldn't be worrying about, our lack of trust in God, the way that we treat other people, the way that we don't share the way that we should, we don't give the way that we should, we don't serve the way that we should, we don't honor him the way that we should, we don't praise him the way that we should. Sin, 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 sin. And he forgives. How can we not forgive others? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.